From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Friday, October 20th. Coming up, we'll learn more about the nonprofit group Monarch Watch and how volunteers help scientists learn more about monarch butterflies' migration to Mexico. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. There's a new deadline coming up for the undocumented residents 65 or older who want health insurance through the state of Illinois. Alex Degman reports.
The Department of Health Care and Family Services says the state can only afford to cover 16,500 undocumented seniors this year. The agency expects to hit that mark within the next couple of weeks, so anyone who wants to enroll needs to do so by November 6th. The program launched in 2020 to provide undocumented immigrants and some with green cards with access to state-provided health insurance, as long as they're ineligible for any other coverage. It later expanded to include residents aged 42 to 64, but costs for that program quickly exceeded projections. New enrollments were paused in July, and both plans will charge copays next year. I'm Alex Degman.
With just 5 months to go until the 2024 presidential primaries, Illinois election authorities are tightening up security at the polls and online. Mawa Iqbal has more.
In 2016, Russian hackers accessed Illinois State Board of Elections computers and stole voter information. Since then, state election officials have significantly tightened cybersecurity. At the Chicago Board of Elections, spokesperson Max Bever says they're looking out for deep fakes and AI-generated misinformation.
Us local authorities have just been putting a lot more elbow grease into our own social media and getting our own information out. That is one of the best ways we were able to combat misinformation online.
Meanwhile, some downstate counties are asking for state funding to hire more poll watchers and security guards. Mawa Iqbal.
Cook County leaders want to expand opioid treatment for people who are pregnant or on the wait list at the county jail. Kristen Schorsch reports from the county building.
Last year, a record 2,000 people died of opioid overdoses in Cook County. Most deaths involved fentanyl. During a meeting this week, Commissioner Stanley Moore described what's happening in the Southside areas he represents.
I have open-air fentanyl and drug markets. I went and sat in one yesterday and watched as they sold the heroin through the fence. There's guys standing around as zombies. Talk to a few of them. They want help.
Yep.
They don't know where to go.
Flush with money from opioid settlement agreements, the county plans to spend about $1.5 million of it next year to tackle the crisis. The county is set to receive settlement funding for more than a decade. Kristen Schorsch, WBEZ News.
The last living eyewitness to Emmett Till's kidnapping told his story to a Southern Illinois University Equiem Symposium yesterday in Collinsville. The Reverend Wheeler Parker Jr. recounted the infamous 1955 murder of Till, his cousin and best friend. Parker was 16 when his 14-year-old cousin whistled at a white woman in Mississippi. Shortly after, two white men beat Till to death. Parker, who still lives in a Chicago suburb, says Till's story is emblematic of the black man's struggle in the South.
And remember, this story shows where we came from, how we got here, and once you find out how you got to a certain place, then you know what to do to keep going.
The white woman who Till whistled at died earlier this year. Till was also accused of touching the woman, which Parker denies. He says he wishes the woman, Carolyn Bryant, would have set the record straight before her death. Still to come, we'll learn more about the nonprofit group Monarch Watch and how volunteers help scientists learn more about monarch butterflies' migration to Mexico. That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
A co-production of Real South and Independent Lens, A Town Called Victoria is a three-part docuseries examining the resiliency of a community after an act of arson at a Texas mosque. Friends of WYLL receive exclusive early streaming access beginning October 14th. Learn how you can receive early access to the best of PBS with WYLL Passport at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. The annual monarch butterfly migration is well underway. The insects are due to arrive in Mexico just in time for the Day of the Dead in early November. For decades, scientists with the nonprofit group Monarch Watch have relied on thousands of volunteers to try and figure out the mysteries behind this long-distance journey. Harvest Public Media contributor Sheila Brummer has more.
At DeSoto National Wildlife Refuge near Missouri Valley, everyone in the Ivy Caldwell family chases butterflies.
He's going to land way up high.
There's Mother Lori.
Up above. Right.
Father Julian and their two sons, 11-year-old Eli and 10-year-old Irvin.
I really love butterflies. I loved them since I was little, and I loved catching them.
They scamper through the wilderness of a warm Saturday in September with nets popping out over tall wildflowers through brush and trees.
I think it's pretty amazing that you've got adults out chasing butterflies.
You want to just grab it like that, just very gently, just like that, okay?
Park Ranger Peter Ray oversees several late summer outings where volunteers carefully catch and mark each monarch with a tiny sticker before letting them go.
There it goes. Adios.
The goal at the refuge is to tag 300 butterflies this season for researchers to try and follow their path. People who find the tagged insects can enter information with Monarch Watch online. Every creature counts, since only about 1% are ever recorded dead or alive in Mexico.
And they're not flying with any other butterfly that has done it. It's an amazing migration.
Ranger Ray says a migration of hundreds or thousands of miles. Chip Taylor launched Monarch Watch at the University of Kansas in 1992 to monitor migration east of the Rockies.
There's something about a monarch that seems to capture the feelings of people.
He wanted to know more.
As we knew that the monarchs first reached the overwintering sites in Mexico almost on the same day every year. And how is that possible? So we came up with the idea that maybe this is all synchronized with celestial changes. And it turns out that it is.
Through the tagging of more than 2 million butterflies spanning more than 30 years, scientists uncovered more details. A majority come from the Midwest. And size matters.
You don't want to be a small pipsqueak here because you don't have the glide power.
Taylor says monarch butterfly numbers soared before wide herbicide use, and the loss of habitat created a dramatic fall in the 90s. He's seen lower but steady populations during the past decade.
Monarchs will always be with us, but we could easily lose this migration unless climate change is abated in some way.
Taylor says drought affects the food supply. Hot temperatures can also impact breeding and slow the butterflies down, making it difficult sometimes for them to reach Mexico in time. The focus now is to tag those still around.
Goodness gracious, this is not as easy as it looks.
From veterans to those like the Ivy Caldwell family, we're just learning about the flightful creatures. Trying to catch a moving target can be difficult.
These butterflies fly high and fast.
They're crafty.
They're very crafty.
Yeah, very crafty.
They bagged almost a dozen, if you count the one that got away. And Irvin picked up a few pointers.
I learned how to tell a male and female apart. There's dots on the male's wings and none on the female's.
It's that type of hands-on experience that thrills Chip Taylor, who at the age of 86 plans a metamorphosis of his own. After volunteering all of these years, he will soon step down as director of Monarch Watch. He set up an endowment to ensure advocacy and appreciation of monarchs lives on.
I did. I caught one.
For Harvest Public Media, I'm Sheila Brummer.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says today will be partly cloudy with a high of 63 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Mawa Iqbal, Alex Degman, Kristen Schorsch, Will Bauer, and Sheila Brummer. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a great weekend.